Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari Vallabha Giridhara Dhari Sora Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Vajjana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Dairada Madhava Vajabhidhani Madhava Vajabhidhani Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Uttale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ite Namine Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Uttale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ite Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Niryasesha Sunyavadi Paskacha Kadade Se Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Niryasesha Sunyavadi Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhar Srivasa Gaura Bhaktavrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhar Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pavrikshara Sota Sata Sri Samad Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pavrikshara Sota Sata Sri Samad Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namachari Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Ramasaka Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa Gopabhaktavrinda Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Dwarka Dham Ki Munamayi Gangamayi Ki Samaveda Bhaktavrinda Ki Shri Radha Madhava Ki Astashakis ki, Panchatapad ki, Silorna Sringadev ki, Sila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi. All glories, some devotees, all glories, some devotees, all glories, some devotees, all glories, Sisi Gauranga, Gaur, all glories, Sila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 17. Sa Virat Purusam Dhamma Rajamano Yata Ravi Tarasado Tidurada Tiduraso Bhutanam Sambhavabhuva Sabirat Purusam Dharma Rajamano Yatadravat Tarasado Tiduraso Bhutanam Sababhava Sabirapurum Dharma Rajamano Yatavali Durasido Diradarso Bhutanam Samabhavaha. Ladies. Sa, he, Vasudev, Ibarat, carried, Purusam, pertaining to the Supreme Person, Dham, the spiritual effulgence, Rajanana, illuminating, Yata, as, Ravi, the sunshine, Dhirasadas, very difficult even to look at, difficult to understand by sensory perception. Adip Durbhadrasaha, approachable with great difficulty. Bhutanam, of all living entities. Samabhavaya, so he became. Ha. Positively. Translation purport by the Divine Krishna Prabhupada Jija. While carrying a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudev bore the Lord's transcendental illuminating effulgence. And thus he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable even for such formidable men as Kamsa, and not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities, please report. While carrying a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within the core of his heart. Pastor Dave, for the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence. Thus he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable, even for such formidable men as Kamsa, not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. Therefore, the word Dham is significant. Dham refers to a place where the Supreme Personality of God resides. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 111, it is said, Dhamna Sevnam Sada Rastya Kulekam Satyam Param Dimahi. In the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no influence of material energy. Dham Svena Sada Nirastya Kulekam. Any place where the Supreme Personality of God is present by his name, form, qualities, or paraphernalia immediately becomes a Dham. For example, we speak of Vrindavan Dham, Dwarka Dham, Mathura Dham, because in these places, the name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are always present. Similarly, if one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do something, the core of his heart becomes a Dham, and thus he becomes so extraordinarily powerful that not only his enemies, but also people in general, are astonished to observe his activities. Because he is unapproachable, his enemies are simply struck with wonder. As explained here by the words, Virasado Indirya Harasaha. The words Purusam Dham have been explained by various acharyas. Viragya Acharya says that these words refer to the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijayacharya says that they signify Vishnu Tejas, and Sukadeva Goswami says Bhagavat Sarupa. The Vaishnav Toshini says that these words indicate the influence of the Supreme Lord's effulgence. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Tagore says they signify the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. This whole purport also explains the position of Srila Prabhupada. He was, in a sense, unapproachable, unperceivable, had a brilliant effulgence, and he was illuminating like the sun. I saw it myself a couple times. There's one photograph on the Duda Tukha Prabhupada in London. He's wearing a fuzzy hat, and around the hat there's this clear light, about 2 inches around the whole hat. And he told me later, I saw that effulgence and I wanted to photograph it. So I did. And it's there for anybody to see. You can see Prabhupada's effulgence. I saw it a couple times. One occasion, Gurdas was taking sannyas in San Francisco. And Prabhupada was on a Vyasasan. And my wife and I were looking at that Vyasasan and it was on fire. The whole Vyasasan was lit up. Prabhupada's effulgence wasn't just on it, it was the whole Vyasasan, completely enlivened with light. And we brought some stranger from the bus, and he looked at, he saw it too, my Lord, that man is on fire. So Prabhupada's effulgence was evident on different occasions. I saw it again in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was about to leave his body, and he turned it on. It didn't happen very often, but occasionally it happened by accident. One time, Prabhupada went into ecstasy on the Vyasasan in Vrindavan. And everybody went quiet, because what can happen now? Here Prabhupada is, you know, quiet in the spiritual world, and everybody's waiting to see what will happen next. And how to do it is start a kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so that broke the whole thing. And then Prabhupada later said, he asked him, Srila Prabhupada, did I do the right thing? You were in the spiritual world. We could see that. And we were sharing the experience with you. But ultimately, we didn't know what to do, so I decided to start a kirtan. He said, was that okay? He said, yes. I'm sorry, it won't happen again. So Prabhupada was very humble, supreme humility, and ultimately the greatest personality ever graced the planet. So I'm going to tell a little story. Now this story, pardon me, because it's not mentioned anywhere. It came about by a darshan that a devotee had, godbrother. He had it a few months ago, and it was like being present at the occasion where this thing took place. Now, forgive me, because this is from a darshan. It means it was actually, he experienced it himself personally. He described it with vivid detail. And so now I'm relating it. I was told not to do this, but the selective ears can hear this, and anyway, here we go. It all relates to Krishna going to Kurukshetra for the occasion of the solar eclipse. So it happened, of course, the whole entourage was like camels and bullock carts and chariots, and the whole of Dwarka descended on this temporary campsite, Kurukshetra. So it wasn't any normal campsite. The campsite, as seen by this devotee, was massive. You may know about circus tents. They're really big circus tents, really colossal. But so several of those all together, that was the darshan area where the Supreme Lord sat to give darshan. Now, it happened that the kings of the earth knew about this happening, because messengers are communicating all the time around the world. Messengers are sent and they're spies and they understand what's taking place. So, for this darshan, it was meant to be the last time that the Supreme Lord would give his darshan to the mass of people in general. So kings came. All the kings of the world were present. And even pharaohs coming from Egypt were present. And it was such an exhilarating combination of great personalities, the demigods. Everybody present was super empowered. And Krishna giving the great potency of his last appearance in front of everybody made it a special occasion. Now, as you can imagine, this tent city built huge conglomerate of temples, of tents, which represented a temple in itself. Inside was lavishly decorated, and there were seven gates to this opportunity to see the Lord. And so the occasion took place as everybody arrived and was situated. The women were in the back talking and connecting with each other. All the girls from the ladies from Dwarka were talking and with the other personalities and ladies that were present. Well, Krishna's on the Vyasasan, big throne, big seat, and two seats beside the other one for his close sons, for Arjuna and Aniruddha. So the darshan was going on, and gifts were being presented in glorification of the Supreme Lord. And on the occasion, it's a solar eclipse and everybody's there to take bath and to be purified. And the ultimate purification is to be in the presence of the Supreme Lord in this kind of darshan. Now, it wouldn't happen again, and they knew about this. So ultimately, everybody packed into this place, and it was so crowded and guarded with heavy guards on each of the gates. So in order to get in, you had to have profile. You had to be a king, or you had to be his minister, or somebody really important to get into the darshan. And it was massive. You couldn't see hardly from one end to the other. And so Krishna's giving the darshan and sitting there, regal. Krishna's presence is obviously so powerful. And so he just sat there and watched the whole episode take place. And so all of a sudden, there was a little commotion, and a peasant girl was able to get through the gates in the beginning because ultimately She was no threat. They thought she was a cleaning lady. And so she got through the gates, and she was walking closer to where Krishna is seated, but still some distance away. Now, this peasant girl was unnoticed by everybody except Krishna's two sons. And they started looking at her and understand that maybe she's somebody special. They didn't know who she was. So she came closer and could see basically Krishna and the Vyasas on the seat. And so she stopped suddenly in her tracks, and she had her head covered up. She had her, over her head. And so you could just barely see her face, but she could see it through, and she was looking at Krishna through the covered veil. And she was like that, you know. So, so you know what happens next. It's obvious, isn't it, what happens? So it was Radharani. And so she's getting closer, and then she drops in her tracks and puts out her hands in supplication and just starts crying. And Krishna turned his head and looked and saw who it was. And immediately, they entered into a bhav where that both of them entered into youthful pastimes and embraced and had their episode together in their minds. That happened automatically. And so they wondered who this lady was. And so obviously it became evident it was Radharani. And where she knelt, where she went down on her knees, was a place where Abhimanyu was killed during the battle. And so all this came in a darshan, so you forgive me if it's not written anywhere, but take it for what it is. It's pretty far out, man. And so this Abhimanyu's in the spiritual world, and he's showering flowers on that spot where Radharani is kneeling. And so ultimately, that's the conclusion of the whole episode, where Radharani got the darshan and was able to connect with her Supreme Lord. And then the darshan went on, and the whole episode came to a close, conclusion, and they parted, went back to their homes. So, please forgive me, but I had to tell the story because it's so beautiful. Now, in keeping with the sloka, I wanted to mention, make a reference about how Prabhupada is connected with some of these effulgent ideas. That when Vasudeva got the word, he was initiated by Krishna that I'm coming, and he actually was implanted in his mind by initiation. So there wasn't any summon and discharge. So Vasudeva became empowered, effulgent, brilliant as the sun. And just like Prabhupada. Prabhupada had that effulgency, and it was very prominent. And then he transferred that whole energy to Devaki, and she became prominent, effulgent, bright as the sun, but had to close it down because they were in prison, and Akamsa would have seen it. But she couldn't hide it. It was like a fire condensed, as being described by Srila Prabhupada. And so Kamsa understood that this had happened, that this is the seventh occasion, now the other six are gone. And so he knew it was time that the Supreme Lord would be present, and when he could kill her now and stop the whole problem. Then he decided it was bad time now, because his sister, she's pregnant, she's a woman, she's about to give birth. So it would ruin his own reputation of what he had. So he didn't kill her. So finally, the episode took place, and as we know what happened, Balaram got transferred, and Krishna made the appearance and was transferred. So the effulgent, so he couldn't kill her, but he wanted to. So then started the whole episode of all the demons, all the friends were coming to Mathura to do the job that he wanted to have done. So The occasion, Yoga Maya had to do the job of transferring Balaram. So she said, I can't do that. I'm not powerful enough to transfer Balaram. But Krishna said, don't worry, I'll empower you to do it. So you can take care of it, no problem. So she did, and they got transferred. And Prabhupada talks about this bodily concept, this karma. And karma is referred to as something that is materially contaminated. If you're contaminated by karma, by material contamination, there's no chance for spiritual light, spiritual revelation. It doesn't happen. But Prabhupada mentions that in the heart of any devotee who's got Krishna's name, form, pastimes, it's a dham. So Vrindavan dham, Mayapur dham, we're in a dham and we're in the midst of all of us, in our heart, is Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and that's a dham. So we're powerfully protected. And so even if there is distress, and Prabhupada speaks about that, that distress comes and goes. So if you have some problem right now in the body or in whatever problem might be, it's temporary. And that distress is like a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. You can take it from granted that if you get through this distress moment, ultimately you got purification, and that's a cleansing process. By taking the distress on your head willingly, accepting it as a token offense of that would surely be much more intense, then ultimately you purified yourself. So this purification is very important, because ultimately through the purification and distress, you ultimately make bigger achievement and progress on the path of spiritual life. So Queen Kunti is the example, was playing for distress. Oh, please, Lord, give us some problems so you'll come again and protect us and be with us again. We want that. So the same thing for us. If we get a distress problem, don't worry. Krishna's there to protect us. And Prabhupada said there's, in the protection process, he singled out old men, brahmacharis, brahmins, women, children, and should not be killed. Could never be killed. There's a story I may have told this before, but it's a funny story. There was a devotee distributing books in Europe, and he was running through the mall and being chased by authorities, not allowed in certain malls. And so he came to a position where he couldn't escape, and there was only one door, and he had to go through that. And there was no other doors in the hallway, and they were right behind him. So he opens the door, goes through the door, and comes out on the stage, and he's in front of a whole group of people. So the headmaster, master ceremonies, came over and asked him, where are the gifts? Where are the prizes? And I said, oh, I got them here in my book, my bag. I got all these books. So he called up these people one by one and got a book. All the people were the top people in the convention. So he was about to go, he turns around, looks, and he sees a big banner. Butchers United Convention Worldwide. So he was giving books to all the different butchers that were accumulated in that place. And my wife and I, we were distributing books in her hometown area. One of her close friends was a butcher, big lady with big teeth. Butchers have big canine teeth, if you ever notice. And so she wiped off her hands with her apron and took the blood off her hands and accepted Bhagavad Gita. So even if you're a butcher, my sister married a butcher's son, even with connection with the fallen, most base personalities, there's still hope, and there's a way to get resurged back to Godhead. Kamsa was day and night thinking of Krishna. He couldn't see his reflection in the mirror. We know the story, Krishna book. But ultimately, he was Krishna conscious in a negative way. So it doesn't, if we're Krishna conscious in negativity, it doesn't help. There are many people who like chant the holy name in mockery, Hare Krishna. But even that, there's progress, there's some purification. there are occasions where people were offending at Hari Nam party in San Francisco. Jayananda was leading a party, and a big guy came up to him with him face nose to nose. He said, "You guys stop making all that noise." And so he didn't say anything to the guy. He just kept walking with the kirtan playing and mardanga. And ultimately, the guy kept harassing the devotees. And he said, "Listen, be careful. If you don't watch yourself, you're going to get hurt. The Lord doesn't appreciate this." So the guy kept walking backwards and stepped off the curb, and bingo, got hit by a bus. Died instantly. Another case, 3 nights down, there was telling a story that same thing happened to him with a Hari Nam party. And the guy was harassing, calling foul names at the devotees, and ultimately he had a heart attack and died on the spot. So you don't mess around with the devotees in the kirtan party. Prabhupada talks about the atheist, scientist, and who accept the world as negative. And Prabhupada mentioned that devotees see it in the opposite framework. We see the world, devotees see the world as a world of happiness, and not distress and negativity. Now, because of the incident that took place with Devaki, demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, Vishnu, they all came, all the demigods, and Chandra, Indra, and Varuna, Chandra, all came to get close to Devaki and the Supreme Lord. They understood he was about to take birth and that would be the end of Kamsa. So they informed her, they informed Devaki, that don't worry, you have the Supreme Lord in your presence, and when he takes birth, there won't be any more Kamsa. You can be assured of that. Now there's a thing called, I made a summary of the chapter a little bit, so these are just some highlights. There's a relative truth. Worshipping a demigod is a relative truth. It's not the bonum absolute truth that is exemplified by the Supreme Lord. When I was a brand new devotee, I was searching for the absolute truth, and I couldn't find it anywhere. When you're in a state of slumber, in the sense that you're not really awake, and you're looking for a way to get out of this slumber, be awoken by the spiritual master, you search hard and low, and you find this way. If not, you gotta find it. You gotta find a way out. If your heart is strong and desire is sufficient, you'll find a spiritual master, all of you have. So, but there are a lot of people out there still looking, and they want that same opportunity and don't have it. So obviously the preaching method is here for all of us. And Prabhupada said that Lord Krishna has descended into this Hare Krishna movement to purify the world and expand throughout the world according to Lord Chaitanya's desire. And so there was a deprogramming incident that took place during Prabhupada's time. And ultimately, it would have gone on for months and years. But they took it to court, and they took all of Prabhupada's books to court and piled it up on the judge's desk. He said, "What is this? This is our evidence, Your Honor. Read through this and give your summary." So it was all of Prabhupada's books stacked up real high. So how's a guy going to read through all of that? Even reading one sentence is difficult. So in any case, it would have taken months and years to settle the court case. But it all happened in one day. They got the judge ruled it out, and the Krishna consciousness became bona fide all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So relative truth. Truth is exemplified by the Supreme Lord, past, present, and future vision. You can see anything before, anything after, anything in the future. So even at the annihilation, Krishna's present, so he is the absolute truth. There's no question about who's the supreme end of all truth. But the relative truth is in opulence, reputation, strength, wisdom, education. Krishna is the source of all of this. In order to be a devotee, you need full strength, full knowledge, full activity to be successful in whatever endeavor we do. And just by being a devotee, whatever action we take place, that's to satisfy the Supreme Lord, is benedicted, obviously protected, encouraged, and developed to be successful. So, like with Vasudeva being effulgent and approachable and so powerful, Srila Prabhupada had the same potency. He was so powerful. So he infused that into everybody who worked in the movement. Many devotees did outrageous, beautiful, amazing, impossible chores. Like there's one Indologist who was saying about the movement. He wrote a book about Krishna consciousness. And he was saying that when Prabhupada gave the instruction to Gargamuni and Shamasundar and a few others to make a magazine, the only thing they knew about a magazine was to read it once in a while. They had no idea how to do it. And so right across the board, everything that happened was miracles one after another. The Supreme Lord manifested his presence and his potency in every devotee who had sincerity and wanted to do something to please the Prophet, so it happened. Then there's no merging between the Lord and, like in the super soul in the heart with the bird of the Jivatma. So we are represented by the bird that does all the functioning by eating and sampling material energy. In order to break from that, we just have to follow the super soul. And that's a little voice inside each one of us. If you listen inside your head, that voice will come, and you follow that voice. And the most protected shelter of anything, the Lord's lotus feet. If we take shelter of the lotus feet, it's like Prabhupada describes at the calf's footprint. It's just like crossing over a small little spot. But by the protection of the Lord, anything is possible. I was a little flashback. I finally joined in Los Angeles, and I did see Prabhupada in New York in 66, but 10 years went by. And so I'm sitting there, shaved up, ready to greet Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles just before the doors opened. And Prabhupada came up, gave one look at me and looked at this. And in my mind, he said, "You finally decided to come?" I mean, I didn't know what connection I had before, but it seemed like there was something. In any case, Srila Prabhupada had nothing go by him that wasn't completely obvious to him. He was conscious right to the very end. I was there the last 4 months, and he was well aware of everything going on in that room, 100%. There's no question about it. Now, there's some stories in Rupa Goswami's day today. He says there's no personal gain if in devotional service you're asking for some benediction. Better not to ask and just understand that Krishna has it in our heart. He knows what we need and supplies what we lack and embellishes what we have. So he tells a story in the Lalita Madhava. There's a crow flying overhead. Radharani looks at the crow and starts cursing, and this is her point of madness, that where she's now in a point where she couldn't hardly understand left or right, up or down, just life or death. So she's very close to the edge of death. And so she's getting really angry, and just Krishna decided not to come back. And so she telling the crow, if you're going to Mathura, you go see that guy, that bumblebee, that black crow. He resembles you. And so he's cursing. She is in a madness state, and she's like going on with her rhetoric. It's all coming out of the heart, and she's not really thinking on any of that, but it's coming as a fit of madness to hit Krishna right smack in the heart also. And so she tells the crow to tell him that the house is on fire. The house is burning and there's no way to stop the fire. There's only one way. You have to come and put out the fire yourself. And so there's a bolt on that door. We can't get out. The fire is burning and it's going to take us all back to death. And so he has to come and unbolt this door himself. And that bolt is saying that he's coming back. So if he's coming back, bring him back. We want him back here and unbolt the door so we can open our heart and find love again. So she goes on with the black bee. This is in the Uddhava Sandesh in Amdaduta. So in the Ujjala Nilamadavi, there's that famous story. It's so nice. That Krishna's shivering in a bed in Dwarka. He says, I got this illness. I can't stop it. I don't know what to do about it. There's only one way to stop it. There's only one remedy. And Uddhava says, what's that? We get anything you need to stop the shivering. Well, it has to be something special, and it has to come from one of my ladies. So he asked them, I asked all the queens if they would help me. I need this help right now, and I need some kind of benediction. This medicine is very important. So please get it for me. So what's the medicine? I want the dust from their lotus feet. You know, you heard the story. So anyway, the dust from the lotus feet of any of the queens, it just couldn't happen. We're married to Krishna. I mean, we can't give him the dust of our lotus feet. So nobody would do that. And he said, well, go to Vrindavan and ask the Vrindavasi girls. So he goes there. He asks Radharani and all the gopis. And that's the medicine. Well, how much do you want? You want a bag full? How many bags do you need? So we'll take as much as we can give you. Just it's up to you to decide how much you want to carry. So then there's a story. I'm just taking pieces from the chapter. And Krishna's, you know, obviously listening to all this. And Radharani is saying, get out of here, you black bee, you rascal. We don't want any more. Don't you touch my feet again. And just, you know, going on with the whole rhetoric. Then she quotes different in the, with Widow and the Bumblebee, behavior of a crow. That's Krishna. So then she tells stories. Vamadeva with his small feet, jugglery, he can be baffled Bali and take away his whole kingdom. Just see the jugglery of this rascal guy. He just, with his small feet, he took over the whole creation. He can't be trusted. Don't trust him for anything. And then he also, during Ram's time, he cut off the nose of Ravana's sister for, what is it? Purjanika. How do you pronounce that? Purjanika. And she later became Kubja. And Kubja, of course, is the hunchback. And so she's, you know, Radharani is still talking, saying, you cut off the nose of this Supurnaka. And ultimately, she couldn't be married again. And so she was ripped apart by this whole thing. And so now you've taken this to this extent at Kubja, but her hunchback couldn't do anything other, and couldn't get married either. So you just snapped her up and put her into a beautiful woman because you wanted to marry her. You wanted to have a relation with her. And so ultimately, you crooked rascal, you black bee. And so the problem isn't really Krishna's problem. It's because he's black. Radharani says he's black and his heart is black. Everything about him is black. So there's no beauty in blackness. And so Radharani is going on and on about this. And Rupa Goswami tells so many stories like this in his writings. Unfortunately, Prabhupada did want us to read all these books, basically the books that he wrote, first few books. But in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, some of the same exact incidents are taking place. we get a roadmap how to go to from this, this material level to the spiritual ultimate destination. It's a roadmap, how to get there, how to do it, what to say, how to, what mantra to chant, ultimately not to sidestep along the way with any of the opulences or the great dhams along the way. It means go straight back home, back to Godhead, without faltering. And don't think about stopping and enjoying for a short time in any part on the way back home, back to Godhead. So this is the mandate given in Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami. And ultimately, Gopakumara makes a journey and is not satisfied wherever he goes. Ultimately, he becomes king and takes different roles. He's Lord Brahma. And ultimately, finally makes his destination and gets back home, back to Godhead, where he sees Krishna and he faints, and Krishna faints, and they join together. When Krishna faints, ultimately the whole spiritual world shuts down. His eyes close, and the spiritual world is shaking, it's in jeopardy. So it aroused everybody in Goloka Vrindavan. And so they came to see what was taking place and what calamity was taking place. And it was just him on the ground, Krishna's lying there with this new boy. So Balaram understood the whole situation and came and picked up Gopakumara and had him pick up Krishna. And so they were looking at each other, and finally Krishna opens his eyes and so you related to Radharani's family, so ultimately come, it's time to go back. We gotta take prasadam. So they go back to the palace, and Nanda Baba's palace, and they got seated. He got seated right in front of Krishna. And so Krishna was feeding him off his plate. He's getting the opportunity that Krishna's reminisce direct. And this really magnificent sweet came from Radharani's hands, placed on Krishna's plate. Krishna smelled it, tasted it, threw it at Gopakumara. So he tasted it. It was like, it was just the most ambrosian, most amazing taste that he could ever imagine. It was a play. And he looked over at Radharani and smiled. So, in any case, time's run out. Any questions? Oh. There's a... Remember that story I told is not to be, maybe you can, I don't know. It's not written anywhere, but it's in a darshan, a direct experience that a devotee had, God brother.
I was just going to add one little point you were making about the butchers.
And well,
butchers.
The butchers. Right?
Yeah, you mentioned butchers. So I just want to tell you that we have a god brother who lives in Alachua, Florida. And he inherited a very large amount of money from his father who passed away. And it just so happened his father owned a string of slaughterhouses and gave him all this money when he left his body. And the devotee, our god brother, was like, what do I do with this money? I mean, it's all from killing cows. What should I do? And after contemplating for a while, he thought, I will just use this all in Krishna service. That's what I should do. So this devotee who has a lot of money just has a car. It's not a nice car. It's just a car. He lives in a place that's not very nice, but it's livable. He pays for Harinams. He pays for book distribution. So he uses every penny. He says, if I spend one penny on anything for myself, I feel like it's blood money and Krishna will punish me. But as long as I keep supporting the movement and just live very, you know, humbly, then I could use this money.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Any other questions? That's nice. I heard that story. Okay, well then here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi.